This episode is dedicated to my wife, the beautiful, wonderful love of my life. You're listening to the new Average Joe Radio. If I could write a song for you, I wonder what I'd say. Something about your blue eyes and the color of your hair. How terribly I miss you whenever you aren't there. How very much I love you, and how I need you too. How my life did not begin till the day that I met you. If I could write a book for you, what would it be about? The day you walked into the room and walked into my life. The day we said our wedding vows and you became my wife. The special gift you gave me in a newborn baby son. How great it is to spend my life with you, living as one. If I could make a movie and cast you as the star, it would have to be a musical, nothing else would do, with lots of upbeat solos written just for you. I'd have to play a speaking part, not one I had to sing, and our musical would have to have a happy ending. If I could write a prayer for you, I know just what I'd pray. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the woman that I love. No better wife a man could have, most men just dream of. Help me, Lord, to keep her safe and never break her heart, and tell her that I think of her whenever we're apart. If I could tell you one thing, just one, I would say, you are my life, you are my heart, and every breath I take. You fill my day, you light my night, you're every move I make. You are the first, you are the last, and all that's in between. You are the greatest woman that this man has ever seen. A little talk, a little rock, without the shock. Always work safe and family friendly. It's Average Joe Radio. Welcome to episode 10 for Valentine's Day, February 14, 2007. Actually, this episode's going to hit the web a little bit before Valentine's Day because it's the Valentine's Day episode. You're going to hear some songs about love. You're going to hear some poems about love. You're even going to hear a story about love. I hope you enjoy it. It's going to run a little bit long, so sit back and relax.
February, the 14th day is here. I'm not ready. I gotta get away from here. I know it isn't right, but you do it all the time. February, I called your number up, but didn't leave a message, so I thought I'd just show up. I broke your window pane, I won't be doing that again. Well, hey, I don't care what you're wearing. You could be as crazy as you like. Ooh, I don't really mind. Well, hey, you'll still be my lady, and I'm still gonna be a little tramp. I'm gonna hold your little hand. January, I was looking for your face. I wandered over everything. All the time I was in your space, we all stood up to shout. I didn't know what it was all about. But hey, we were young and crazy. You and I were singing our own tune. We were howling at the moon. February 14,
if you wrote this next one out on paper, line by line, you'd see the first letter of each line spells my Valentine. My whole life has changed. You've done so much in me. Very much in love with you. Always I will be. Living my whole life for you, everlastingly. Never letting anyone or thing come in between. I will always love you, need and want you, endlessly.
Please come closer, I don't mind. There's room for two in here, just crawl inside. Wrap yourself up in the world I weave, and know all I want is you. Touch me, put your hand in mine. Wrap your arm round me, oh my, you look fine. Sit down beside me and teach me to fly. 'Cause you know all I want is you. You know all I want is you. Baby, since the day I met you, you know I've wanted you more. And I will make you mine, and all I ask of you is to let me be yours. Making kisses on your cheek.
Everywhere you look, you see people dressed so crazily. Tight, tight pants and muscle shirts, short, short shorts and miniskirts. War paint on their cheeks and eyes, fishnet stockings on their thighs. They run around the town at night and even in the broad daylight. They really think that they look good parading around the neighborhood. But if they'd open up their eyes, they'd see their mirrors telling lies. They'd see the war paint on their eyes. They'd see their silly stockinged thighs. They'd see their stupid mini clothes and realize what my girl knows, that beauty's more than dressing down and running naked round the town. It doesn't matter what you wear. Your height and weight don't matter here. The most important thing to do is let the world see the real you. 'Cause when it comes to men like me, that is what we want to see. Don't want to see your naked thighs. Don't want to see your made-up eyes. Don't care about your short, short skirt. Don't care about your muscle shirt. All a real man wants to see is what the good Lord made you be. The beauty inside is what we want, not some makeup, dress-up, phony stunt. We want to know the you inside, Miss Jekyll, not some Mrs. Hyde. So be yourself, my love, for me. That's all I ever want or need. It's all I really care about, so let the inner you come out. Forget about those other girls who wear their hair in phony curls and paint their faces thick with goo, for they have nothing on you. I'll stand and tell the world aloud your beauty stands out from the crowd.
Sometimes it's hard, but tonight I leave all inhibitions behind. I'm gonna tell you straight from my heart. I can't wait any longer.
If life were a VCR and I could do it all over again, if time had a queue review to take us where we've already been, the first place that I would go would be right back to the start, the beginning of my life, the day you walked into my heart. When you walked into that room, I'm sure that you couldn't tell. While seemingly calm and subdued, on the inside I started to yell. A flicker of hope in my life struck like a match in the night. A world once lonely and dark was suddenly flooded with light. I screamed and jumped for joy. I danced and shouted with glee. My heart was doing cartwheels for the blessing bestowed upon me. Till that moment I thought that I knew fate had dealt me a long, lonely life. But that day I learned it was God, not fate, that would bring me a wife. It's been more than 5 years since that day, and we've come a long way since then. And life's not a VCR that can take us where we've already been. But if given a chance to go back to do what I wanted to do, the only place I would go is straight to the arms of you.
It's been quite some time since I've been charmed, or maybe since I let myself be. Meeting you was so unexpected, it took me by surprise to see. The pain and the loss, old and distant love, that really had a hold on me. Had lost its grip and broken free. I yet didn't know you turned the key. You're an angel, unlikely messenger. You came along and you turned the key. You're an angel, unlikely messenger. You set me free. You reached right out and took my hand and smiled at me and put me at ease. And it dawned on me, you're a girl and I'm a boy. I'd forgotten what that really means. But the pain and the loss, old and distant love, really had a hold. Lost his grip and I'm broken free. It was you who finally turned the key. You're an angel, unlikely messenger. You came along and you turned the key. You're an angel, unlikely messenger. You set me free. And I thank you for what you did. You probably wouldn't understand the message loud and clear as soon as you touched my hand. But I have to admit, oh, somewhat sheepishly, it's not like me to fall that fast. An unlikely messenger, angel sent, that tell me I can breathe again.
Ne'er before was there a time I felt the way I do, whene'er I look into your eyes like oceans crystal blue. Never has there been a day, not once throughout my life, when 'twasn't in God's divine plan for you to be my wife. For ever since I met you, I've known what I know now, that you and I were meant to be, somewhere, someway, somehow. There's nothing that can change that, no woman, child, or man. 'cause it isn't just an accident, it's God's almighty plan. Life never will be perfect, it's not always easy, too, but it is only worth living if I'm living it with you. I know that I'm not perfect, I never claimed to be, but without you I'm just half a man, 'cause you're a part of me. So please give me the chance to show you how I feel, an opportunity to prove my love for you is real. You won't be disappointed, you won't be hurt, my love. I swear this by the witness of the good Lord God above.
Baby, there's something that I'd like to say, and I hope that my words don't get in the way. But there's something that you ought to know. How can I explain all this love that I feel? How do I prove that this heart is for real? When I hold you close, I don't wanna let go. I can no longer hide, 'cause I'm dying inside, and I'm feeling like I'm gonna fall. This is a dream that I don't wanna wake, 'cause this is a feeling I don't wanna shake.
Once upon a time, not so long ago, in a town not so far from here, there lived a young boy named John. John wasn't your typical young boy. No, indeed, John was a toad. Not a real toad, of course, slimy and green, hopping through field and stream across the countryside, eating insects and scaring young girls. Not that sort of toad at all. John was a toad inside himself. How can that be, you ask? Quite simple, really, once you get to know him a little better. For you see, John was a toad inside because John felt like a toad inside. What I mean to say is, John didn't feel like a normal little boy at all. He wasn't the cutest little boy in his neighborhood, or the most graceful either. He didn't play with the popular kids, and was often overlooked when picking teams in gym class. Why, one year during field day in gym class, John spent the entire day playing old maid with Henry Jones, the custodian, in the broom closet that Henry insisted on calling his office. As all of the other students and faculty were outdoors engaged in broad jumps, long jumps, dashes, and relays, there was precious little janitorial work to be done indoors. Even the school lunch had been served outdoors. The next day, young John's gym teacher credited him with average performance, reasoning that if he had written nothing down, John must have performed neither poorly nor exceptionally well. John was a homebody, a bookworm, just this side of a recluse, in fact. He'd much rather lie prostrate along his bed with his nose jammed in Huck Finn than stumble around a basketball court with his older brothers, missing even the easiest of shots and being ridiculed for his lack of coordination. You never saw John at the school dances or sporting events, not even as a wallflower or spectator. I heard a story that he'd once been invited to a Sadie Hawkins dance by the prettiest little girl in his whole class. He was 10 years old and only secretly liked girls at the time. Why, little boys all thought little girls had the cooties at least until the 7th grade, or maybe little girls thought John had cooties. Nonetheless, when little Lucy asked John to take her to the dance Saturday afternoon, John ran into the boys' restroom without even answering. He was so unsure what he'd heard of. Now, no one but John will ever know what was going through his head as he crouched on the toilet seat locked in that bathroom stall, hoping no one would know he was there. No, I suppose those thoughts are little John's own private thoughts, but being a boy once myself, I suspect they went something like this. Sadie Hawkins dance? Dance? I can't go to any stupid dance. Not with a dumb girl. Why did she ask me anyway? It must be a trick. She can't like me. I'm just a toad. Girls don't like things like toads and frogs and bugs. It must be a joke. Someone's put her up to it. But why would she do it? She's so pretty, and she's never said anything mean to me before. She's never really said anything at all to me before. But that's a start. And so, I'm sure, he went on and on, talking himself into and out of the dance over and over for the rest of the school day. As the story goes, no one remembers seeing John in class for the rest of the day. Of course, I don't suppose they'd have noticed him if he was there. I don't know if little John ever went to the Sadie Hawkins dance with little Lucy or not. I've heard the story both ways, and neither one of them are happy stories to repeat. Whether John spent the night locked in the girls' restroom by his very own brothers, or at the dance surrounded by scores of real live toads, I don't suppose it makes much difference. The result would be the same. Little John was, and always would be, an unwanted toad. One day, when little John had become a young man, which to him meant he was just an older, uglier, dirtier toad and even more unwanted than before, John met a man named Jake. Jake was a co-worker of John's at the Uneraser factory in town. How useless is that? John asked himself when he was offered the job. I'll be making a tool for people to redo the mistakes they've already undone with a pencil eraser. Perfect job for a useless old toad like me. Jake had always treated John with respect and dignity. He's up to something, John insisted to himself. Why would he respect me? Why is he so nice to me? I don't have anything he wants. So John always kept his guard up when Jake was around. He never let anyone get too close, especially someone who seemed like he wanted to get close. You don't have any kids, do you, John? Jake asked him one day as they fed another batch of unerasers into the packaging machine together. Kids? No kids, John answered. Why? He asked cautiously, the suspicion evident in his voice. Just wondered what you were doing for Halloween is all, Jake answered. Halloween? His voice cracked in response. Oh, I don't do much of anything for Halloween. No one even comes to my home for candy, he added silently. I got a little costume thing I'm going to, Jake explained, down at the mission, and I thought you might like to go. Oh, I don't know, Jake, John started in his unintentional McFly voice. I don't do that sort of thing. What sort of... What you talking about? Jake asked, shocked. I just thought you might like to drop by if you weren't doing anything else. It's open to the public. Parties aren't my thing, really, Jake replied. Look, it's a costume party. You throw on a disguise, show up, mingle, and no one even knows who you are. So it's like having a fun time with no risk. John didn't answer openly, but told himself instead, No one will know who I am anyway. No one will know how much of a toad I am. Maybe I can do this. And he did do it, and it went beautifully, despite his subconscious attempts to ruin the whole night. Showing up in a toad costume was a bit ironic, but fitting. And once in costume, why, John was no longer John at all. In fact, he introduced himself as Toad Man, and everyone at the party was enjoying his company and couldn't get enough of him. Even Jake, not knowing Toad Man's true alter ego, treated him better than he ever had before. John was loving it, and caught himself wishing every night could be a costume party, when it happened. Into the room walked the greenest, most beautiful frog John had seen in all his life. Woman, I mean, he corrected himself. In a frog costume. How odd. Odd for her, but not for him to be dressed as a toad. Looks like your little lady just came in, my man, Jake kidded. What? Oh, no, I never met that. That you under that toad, John? Jake asked, amazed. Man, you one crazy partier, you know? Who, me? Why don't you go on over and say hello to the lady frog, Jake encouraged. Oh, no, I couldn't. Oh, I see. Then why doesn't Toad Man hop on over and introduce himself? She don't ever have to know who's inside the toad if you don't want her to, and you two might just hit it off. You think so? John asked. Brother, I know so, Jake answered as he faded into the crowd. John later realized that was the last time he saw Jake. Taking Jake's advice and encouragement, John began the short walk toward the entrance, where the lovely green frog remained, surveying the room. What took only seconds seemed like hours, but he finally reached the door and stopped next to Frog Lady. Hi, he said, drumming up his courage. I'm a toad. I mean, I'm Toad Man. And, well, I thought you might like a little company. What felt like 3 years later, she finally answered. Hello, Toad Man. I guess that makes me Frog Lady. Care to dance? And they danced, and they danced, and they danced. To this day, they continue to dance, though the costumes have been stashed away in the attic for years. And just like the toad costume John wore that Halloween night, the toad inside the man has been long ago forgotten. Toad Man and Frog Lady lived happily ever after, with two little tadpoles of their own. The music in this episode is provided courtesy of the Podset Music Network at music.podshow.com. Related commentary, as well as artist links, can be found at averagejoeradio.blogspot.com. Bandwidth for Average Joe Radio is provided by the Internet Archive at archive.org. Visit Average Joe on the web at averagejoeblogs.blogspot.com. Thanks again for downloading and listening to Average Joe Radio. If you enjoyed today's podcast, tell a friend. If you didn't, tell me at averagejoe.blogs@gmail.com. Or call the feedback line at 206-600-4-JOE.
Tuesday, February 20th in Nashville, Tennessee. The hottest names in pod-safe music gather on one stage at Edge Hill Studios for a night of endless music. Pod-safe Music Live, featuring Coda Phonic.
Let's put them all on the riddle.
Matthew Ebel.
Do you run away from me?
David McMillan.
And carry you in my arms. Past the southern skies, and we'll say goodbye.
Kevin Reeves. And Jeff Smith.
I wanted to be held up in the sound seas, stuck in the middle of everywhere.
With special guest C.C. Chapman from Accident Hash.
Pod Safe Music Live. It all starts at 6 p.m.
Tuesday, February 20th at Edge Hill Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. For more information, visit accidenthash.com.